Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning, and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. First called the People's Department by President Abraham Lincoln, the United States Department of Agriculture is a diverse and complex organization. From enhancing economic opportunities for agricultural producers to protecting the nation's food supply and natural resources, the USDA supports programs that touch the lives of all Americans every day. With us this morning to discuss his efforts in supporting the department's program mission is our very special guest, Boyd Rutherford, Assistant Secretary for Administration at the USDA. Good morning, Boyd, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Also joining us in our conversation is Mike Wasson, Director in IBM's Federal Civilian Industry Practice. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Boyd, could you take a few minutes and start us off by providing us a sense of the history and the mission of the U.S. Department of Agriculture?
Well, you did touch on it. The department was established in 1862 by President Lincoln, and as you said, he called it the People's Department. The focus at the time was on farming, of course, and agriculture and the seeds associated with the crops and then the food supply. The department has a rich history, a very interesting history, ranging from its very beginnings to the soil conservation program that started during the Dust Bowl era. And various personalities and individuals, including George Washington Carver, who had worked for the department over the many years in the history of the department.
So can you provide us a couple more details in terms of how the USDA is organized? Perhaps tell us a little bit about the size of the budget, the number of employees, and the geographic footprint of the department.
Well, it is a huge, diverse department. The budget is approximately $94 billion. We have over 106,000 employees. I recently had asked a question in terms of how many actual W-2s that we issue, and it was about 140,000+, but that would include interns and, you know, seasonal workers and the like.
Sure.
When people think of the Department of Agriculture, they often think of the farm programs. But quite frankly, and I tell people often, the farm programs, while an important part of the department, is not the largest. From a budgetary standpoint, it's the food and nutrition programs, which fund the school lunch programs, the food stamp programs, as well as the food pyramid that we all know about. The Forest Service actually has the most personnel. They represent close to 60% of the personnel in the department. So with that said, we manage about 193 million acres of land, which is mostly forest land, but also we have research laboratories all around the country. 27,000 owned buildings. We have a vehicle fleet of over 47,000, which includes some heavy equipment. Millions of miles of road that we maintain, about 89 million square feet of office space. In the Washington area, we have about 11,000 employees just in the National Capital Area. It's a diverse department that, as I mentioned, ranges from the school lunch and food stamp programs to our National Finance Center, which processes payroll for not only USDA, but close to 700,000 federal workers throughout government, and they're based down in New Orleans. National ID, animal ID programs that we monitor, and like I said, substantial amounts of research that's done through our Agricultural Research Service, our Forest Products Lab, as well as in what is called APHIS, or Animal Plant Health Inspection Service.
Well, Boyd, now that you've provided us with a sense of the larger USDA organization, could you tell us more about your area and role within USDA, and what are your specific responsibilities and duties as Assistant Secretary for Administration? And can you tell us about the areas under your purview, how your area is organized, the size of your staff, and the budget?
I have a direct staff of a little more than 500 employees. I like to say that my responsibilities and role in the department ranges from, on a good day, mayor, and on most days, the head janitor. The direct responsibilities, I am what's called a chief acquisition officer. So I set the procurement policy for the over 1,000 procurement professionals in the department that are in the different agencies. And when I say agencies, a number of departments around town call their subgroups bureaus. We're different at the Department of Agriculture. We call them agencies. So the Forest Service is an agency. The Agricultural Research Service is an agency. I'm also the chief human capital officer. And similarly, I set the policy for HR throughout our department from a department level standpoint. I have emergency operations, and the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week operations center reports directly to me. I'm also the FOIA officer for the department. I have facilities responsibility, so people always come to me and complain about it being too cold in the winter and too hot in the summer, and I usually promise air conditioning for the winter and heat for the summer. Let's see, what else comes in? Virtually all of the back office operations, with the exception of IT and budget. Those are the two things that are not on my list. So,
well, regarding the responsibility and duties, what were the top three challenges that you faced in your position, and how have you addressed those challenges?
It goes without saying that funding is always a challenge, and particularly if you have facility responsibility. I mentioned it, I have facility responsibility for our headquarters directly and National Capital Region offices, but also have the policy responsibility and leasing authority throughout the country, but policy for our facilities and how we manage those. Increased energy costs have been a major burden for us from a facility standpoint. And so we've taken some pretty substantial steps over the last year, 2 years, to reduce our energy consumption, particularly in the headquarters level, and to send that out as a best practices out to the other facilities at USDA. Another challenge, of course, is it's just working within a very decentralized organization. You know, I mentioned all these agencies. There are about 28 separate agencies within USDA that are grouped in what are called mission areas. Working with them, in some cases, you need to implement department-wide enterprise solutions, be it a payroll system or a time and attendance or an HR system. So there's a process of working with the different agencies and overcoming their objections and those things that make them distinct from one another and trying to address them. So that's a second. And then the whole area of operating in a sustainable manner. That, while challenging, has been very rewarding. And the employees have come to that very willingly. But we set up a Sustainable Operations Council, a website to let the department as well as the public know what we're doing, because as I mentioned, we have a large footprint. And so it makes sense for the government to operate in a sustainable manner. And a lot of it was driven by President Bush's executive order 2 years ago, 13423. Those three, I'd say the cost of energy, working within a decentralized environment, and then the greening of the department.
So, Boyd, I understand that you came back to federal service after a period as the Secretary of Maryland's Department of General Services. Could you tell us a little bit about your career path and how you even got started in public service?
I started off many years ago in sales. I was in technology sales, and I eventually went to law school. And I started getting somewhat involved in local politics in Maryland. And I was practicing law. I had practiced in California and moved back here and was somewhat active. And an opportunity came up to go over to General Services Administration. And I joined there. And I had known Governor Ehrlich at the time. And when he became governor, he asked me to come over to Maryland to serve as the Secretary of the Maryland Department of General Services. An opportunity was presented to come back to federal service over at the Department of Agriculture, and I had not thought about it beforehand because I was not aware of all that the Department of Agriculture does, and my vision was that it was primarily a farming operation or supporting farming, and did not know how diverse the organization was and or is and how it affects citizens not only in this country but throughout the world.
So Boyd, with your federal experience, your state experience, as well as your private sector experience, if you reflect back on these, how have these prepared you for your current leadership role and perhaps shaped your management style that you have today?
Well, I think two things, you know, kind of stand out for me. One is recognizing that the career workforce, they are really the subject matter experts. My job is to come in and ask, as I say, the why questions. Unlike private industry, you have to change, you have to become more efficient if you're going to continue to compete. Government doesn't have that same restraint. Normally, you know, the closest thing is money and funding, but still people will often say, well, we used to have X amount of people or we used to get this amount of money, and so it becomes an excuse versus, no, you need to be more efficient. So through the political process, you bring in every couple of years someone that comes in and asks that question, why do we do it this way? Is there a better way to do it? Can we be more efficient in the way we deliver the services? So understanding, though, that the person you're asking the question of is the one who really knows how to do it, and they know their job. They just need to be empowered. They just need to be given the opportunity to come up with these solutions because they're working with it every day. And in some cases, and you have to be careful about it, you may have to go below the initial manager because that manager could be the stick in the mud and the real creative people are working below them. But you have to be careful about that. You want to watch the chain of command and you don't want to lose those managers who are good or could be coached up to be better. The other area I think that's very important, and I saw it particularly in state government where you have some more flexibilities, is make sure you hire good people and then let them do their job. In the federal government, if you have good people, don't stand over their shoulder trying to tell them how to do their job when they know it better than you ever will know it. But be there to support them when they need the support, give them guidance when they need the guidance, and the pat on the back when they do a good job. Or the pat on the back even when they've tried hard and it didn't quite measure up.
That's great. How is the USDA fostering green procurement? We will ask Boyd Rutherford, Assistant Secretary for Administration at the USDA, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.